Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It was snowy where I left from, and it's nice to see all this sunshine and all the heat down here. The best way to get ahead is to look back, and we'll unpack that in a minute. A lot of bad things said, or negative things that are said about the past. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. The best way to get ahead is to look back. The scripture passage that we're looking at this morning is from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 28. And it's a record of what Jesus has done in the sacrifice of his life on our behalf, beginning at verse 24 of chapter 9, Hebrews 9. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to have suffered many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by sacrificing himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. The book of Hebrews seems to repeat encouraging words for Christians to keep moving on with their life. It's apparent from the things that are said, they were getting weary in their walk with the Lord, and maybe they were tempted to turn back or to forget their faith, altogether. The question would be, why do some people, not everybody, make fun of the past, or they talk about it as old-fashioned. Sometimes if I would say something, they'd say, oh, that's so yesterday. Or, you know, that's the way we used to do it. In fact, when I lived in Enola and worked in a garage that I literally grew up in, every now and then I'd take one of the new employees around and show him some of the old tools that we used to use. And they're still hanging on the wall. And one of the things we did back in the day, we had a little device that we could attach the oil hose from the delivery truck to the nozzle. And we did that ourselves, if you can believe it, with a wire. And when I explained how it was done, they would just look at me, because today fuel moves at 70 gallons a minute from the oil truck, and it has a special connection that's all used and it's all safe. But a little history there. When I lived in upstate New York, every fall we'd go out to the Burrville Cider Mill, and it was right beside a big waterfall. And the force of the waterfall would run devices that would end up pressing cider, and then you'd drink cider and eat freshly made donuts. It's the way things were done in the past, but each fall it's redone the same old way. And now that I've moved out of the area, I tell some of my friends up there that they can have my donuts and cider. I won't be there, but it's all theirs. Same thing happens with Williamsburg if you go through there. I don't know if you've ever visited it, but when our boys were young, we used to love to go down. We lived in Bowie, Maryland. We could just go down and see how things were done in the past and watch them work with metal smiths, and they'd have gingerbread cooking when it was in the fall of the year, and just great experience in the past. A Christian understanding of life has to include proportionate thinking. I want to talk this morning about how we think, not what to think, but how we think. The passage of Scripture that's related to proportionate thinking is verse 24 of Hebrews 9. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's very presence. Proportionate thinking. Throughout the book of Hebrews, and here specifically, you have this expression of, we have a copy on the earth of things, but the real thing is in God's presence. Throughout the book of Hebrews, they use the expression a copy or a shadow or a reflection. You know, shadows aren't real. They are real, but they're not real. It looks like there's something there, but if you can walk right through it. In contrast to that, we have the real and the permanent and the eternal. You see the contrast between things that are temporary and things that are eternal? Proportionate thinking simply says everything is not equally important. Have you ever been around people who thought everything was a big deal? It's not any fun. I don't find it fun. I knew men in the military who would describe some of the people who oversaw them with the expression, that guy attacks on a wide front. And it meant by that, everything's a big deal. If we're going to think right, we need to recognize that some things are more important than others. There are some things that are eternal and that are fixed. We talk about living with eternity's values in view. This passage of Scripture describes there are copies of things that are on the earth. It's just a reflection. It's not permanent. But where Jesus is, it's permanent. And we need proportionate thinking. We need to be able to think and decide the things that are really important and eternal and are a big deal, and things that are not, and not make everything in life a big deal. Proportionate thinking. The other way of describing good thought is perspective thinking as to how we look at things. Verse 25, nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Christ offered himself once. Talk about perspective thinking. How we look at things makes a big difference in what we see. The boss I worked for when I hauled oil and water was the most non-technologically savvy person who ever walked the earth. And Fred was a great friend of mine. It was wonderful to be around him and work with him. But in his mind, duct tape and WD-40 could fix anything. And when the printer in my oil truck was getting sluggish or something like that, he'd take the cover off of it and he'd spray it with WD-40, which drove the other guys in the office crazy, thinking he's just destroyed it. But he didn't destroy it, and it, I have to admit, did work when he was done messing with it. Anyway, I walked into the office one day, and there he's sitting with a laptop computer. And I couldn't have been more surprised than if Donald Trump or Luciano Pavarotti or Andre Bocelli was sitting at that desk. I was flat. I couldn't believe my eyes. And I just said, Fred, what is this? And he stood up and he tilted the screen toward himself and he looked down And he said, it's a DY. I said, what? It's a DY. DY is HP upside down. I told that to my friends at the Chinese church. They went crazy. They just, you know, these guys work in computers and in IT and all this kind of stuff. They just couldn't believe it. And he was sincere. He wasn't pulling a joke. It's a DY. How we look at things determines what we see. And so we talk about perspective thinking. When I worked at Chauver's Esso in South Enola, in the gas station, if somebody had a mechanical issue with their car, we would do everything we could to literally show them what was wrong. And in those days, I don't think it's legal now to have what's called a grease pit in a garage. Every place I've been where they used to have one, it's all filled in now and they have a lift. But anyway, a typical story would be a lady comes in or a man comes in, and it didn't matter whether it was a man or a woman, but if it said, you know, when I go over a bump, I hear this knocking noise. So we'd pull it on the pit and I'd get down and look at it, and sure enough, a shock absorber, there are four shock absorbers on the car, and one of them in the back, it was missing a bushing so that when the shock moved over a bump, it would bump the bolt that stuck out, and that's the clunk they heard. Well, we'd take the person down, and if they could get down, not hit their head or anything, and look at it. And if that wasn't feasible, we'd take a shock off the shelf, show them with a bushing, and this is what's wrong. How we look at things makes a big difference in terms of what we see. 925 says Jesus did this once for us. It's a one-time thing. It's finished. And so perspective thinking is that we look at life through Christ. We look through what you could call Jesus glasses. There's a country song, Rose-Colored Glasses. It's a story, a ballad about how a person looks at life. Well, I want to look at life with my Jesus glasses on. I don't want to see things in an upside-down way. When Fred was looking at the DY, he was looking at an ID insignia on a computer upside down. I don't want to look at life upside down. I want to look through my Jesus glasses. And one of the things about the Jesus glasses is that Jesus has done his work for us once. It's not over and over again. It's a finished work. He's done it once. So we have proportionate thinking, where everything's not on the same level. Some things are more important than other things. We have perspective thinking, of looking at things through the lens of Jesus. Who is he and what has he done? And the third thing about thinking is we engage in past thinking, of utilizing experiences and truth that we have based on the past. In verse 26, then Jesus, if it's referring to him having to die many, many, many times, then Jesus would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. This is something that is set and rooted in history. And we have an anchor in human history that affects how we think. There's something that happened in the past that gives a spiritual anchor to our lives. It's the finished work of Jesus. He did this once. So the past has great value. Not only is everything not equally important, and we need to look at things through the Jesus glasses, and there are things he has done in the past that provide direction for our life going into the future. When I was in high school and college, I worked in a gas station. The summer I'd come home, and in the passage you just read, he did this once. The past, it's a finished work. I worked in a gas station. Let me see here. Past thinking. There are people who, when I talk about using the past, they'll say, no. We need to forget the things that are behind and move ahead to the future. And then they'll quote Philippians 3:13, forgetting the things that are behind. We move into the future. That's true. How do you put together what is said in verse 26 of Hebrews 9 about the past and this idea about the future? You put these two ideas together with a word called antinomy. I have to confess, I never heard the word antinomy till I read it in a book. And I had to look it up and figure out what in the world this guy's talking about. But it's a good word. And if you can't remember it, that's okay. You can remember the idea that it embraces. Antinomy is a contradiction between two truths or principles, two valid truths or principles. One, for example, is the freedom of people. The Bible talks about making choices. We have freedom to make choices. And the other thing the Bible talks about is the sovereignty of God. God has his plan, and he has a way of doing things. For some people, these are in conflict. That's why we end up with Calvinists and Arminians. Calvinism emphasizes the sovereignty of God. Arminianism emphasizes the responsibility of people. Both things are taught in the Bible. How do you put them together? You put them together by saying, there are some things that seem to be like a contradiction, and they are, but they fit together. And so over the years, I've heard people say about their pastor or a pastor, you know, one week he sounded like a Calvinist and the sovereignty of God. And the next week he's talking about personal responsibility, like we have obligations and duties. I thought I had him figured out. He's doing both. Why does he do both? They're both in the Bible. And so when people ask me, what are you? I'm a Calminian. Both things are true. A Calminian. Now, the future is important and we move into it. But the past is also important and we use it. They both are important. When I was a student and in college, I came home in the summers, and in the summer of 66, I worked at the gas station, Chauvre's Esso, and I got home. I'd work from 3 to 10. The best way to be a student and work is some mornings I'd work for Mr. Oppel in the truck garage, and then I'd go home and clean up and go to work from 3 to 10. If all you did was work, you had no time to spend money. So you'd make money and you had no time to spend it, so you ended up at the end of the summer with money to go back to school. That's a good idea. Anyway, I got home one night. My mom says to me, about 10:15, Mr. Oppel wants you to call him. So I called him up. He said, we have a truck out at New Stanton. And Enola was near Harrisburg. We have a truck out at New Stanton, and I'd like you to drive the new Brockway out to New Stanton. And Fred and I'll sleep while we go out, and then we'll get the truck and we'll bring them both back. So he put me in this brand new Brockway tractor. And we're going out the turnpike. We get to the tunnels, and periodically they wash the tunnels out. So you end up with one tunnel being used, and you have two-way traffic in this tunnel. So I'm going west, and there's trucks and cars coming east. And I get in that tunnel, and they had just washed it out. And all of a sudden, the windshield fogged over. I had never been in that tractor before. I didn't know where the windshield wipers were or anything. So I thought, this is okay. I could still see lights in front of me, the tail lights, so I didn't get too close to anything. And I'm looking in the mirrors, and I could watch the lines on the road and the curb over here on the right side, and I could still see safely to keep going. And then the mirrors fogged up. Now, you have heaters on the mirrors, but I didn't know where they were. I'd never been in that truck before. So I found a crank on the door, and I put the window down, and I looked kind of out the window, could see the side, the line in the middle, and I could still see tail lights, and so was safe. If you've ever had an experience like that, you'll never forget it. It'll stay with you all your life. And Mr. Oppel's asleep, and truck drivers can sleep anywhere. He's asleep in the right seat, Fred's in the bunk sleeping, and I'm driving with no real good visibility at the windshield, couldn't see the mirrors, and I'm looking out like this. Finally, I got out of the tunnel. As soon as I got out of the tunnel, the fog went off the windshield, and we're good to go. I was using the past, where I had been with the lines on the sides, to keep going in the right direction. There are times in our lives when we start out doing something, moving into the future, and we know what we're doing, and we believe what we're doing is right, and yet things get fogged up. And we wonder, what am I to do? I couldn't stop. I couldn't get off the road. You know, I was in a situation where I had to keep moving ahead. And I found the lines where I had been helpful for moving ahead. There are things in our past that help us move ahead, doing something that's right. First of all, in our lives, there's a time when I was a teenager, I received Christ as my Savior, and I have a spiritual heritage and a legacy when I met Jesus as my Savior. I'm married, and that's an event in the past that has a bearing on now and in the future. We had children, and we dedicated our children to the Lord. That's something in the past that sets a course for my life today. I have career commitments of where I made commitments to people or to institutions or whatever. So it's in the past, but it's helping give guidance to my life of moving ahead. So past thinking is a very great resource for moving into the future. My past and my future are not in conflict. They work together. So we not only recognize proportionate thinking, where everything's not important. Some things are more important than others. We need to decide that way. And we have this past thinking that helps guide us into the future as to what we're going to do next. When life gets foggy, look to the past for some direction. So we have proportionate thinking, perspective thinking, past thinking, and we have pointed thinking. The pointed thinking is that some of the music that we sang this morning talked about us. I didn't write it down. I'll test my memory here. Talked about things being settled. I'm free now. It's not I'm going to be free. I'm free now in Christ. I have received the grace of God, and my life has been eternally altered by the salvation that I've experienced in Jesus. And so this thing about pointed thinking, just as man is destined to die once and after that he faces judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. There are some things that are pointed in our lives. They're very fixed points. May 11th, 1963, when I received Christ as my Savior, I was forgiven. I was cleansed. It isn't something I was going to work into as life went on. Now my life will develop, but there are some things that are fixed. When the Lord heals and healing comes, we experience healing, physical healing, or spiritual healing, and it's finished. So pointed thinking focuses on things that have been accomplished in a very specific way. Forgiveness, being reconciled to God, being given the Holy Spirit in our lives. These are all things that are very pointed in our lives. There are sometimes I listen to people talk about their spiritual journey, and it's as though nothing is settled. Nothing is fixed. Nothing is never really corrected. It's just one miserable experience after another of nothing working. That isn't why Jesus died. There are some things we need to claim by faith and walk ahead in a pointed kind of way. Life has processes and life has instant fixed points. They're both true. And the reason I can make peace with that is I remember antinomy. There are some things that go on and I grow and develop. There are other things that are fixed. I'm saved. When I talk with people about their personal salvation and they say, well, hope so. Well, I'm not talking about a hope so salvation. I'm talking about a finished salvation where we have in Jesus and it's settled. So there are processes in life, that's true, but there are also some things that are fixed. And if we're only living in one side of that thing, we're messed up. We're having more problems than we need to. Every sermon should have three things. It should have something to know and understand. What I know and understand from this passage of Scripture is that Jesus has a finished work that comes to me by faith. It's finished. Every sermon should have something to believe. And what I believe is that I confess that Christ did this for me. The day I was saved as a teenager, a friend from high school shared that he said, you know, all the stuff that Jesus did. And yeah, I knew all that stuff. I knew Bible verses. I knew things that, you know, I'd been raised in church, but it was never personal. He said, well, he did this for you. It's for you he did this. I believe that. I confess it. When the Scriptures talk about what he did, I believe he did what he did and that he did it for me. And he did it for every person who will lay hold of it by faith. 60 years ago, Dr. Tim LaHaye, does anybody recognize his name?
Hey, we got some guys. Yeah, thank you for admitting it. You were around.
Dr. Tim LaHaye was a pastor on the West Coast, and he wrote a book called The Battle for the Mind. And 60 years ago, he was talking about the importance of how Christians think. And I doubt very much that he had any idea how thinking would get messed up in the 60 years that followed. And if he thought things were whacked up then, he'd really be distressed today. What I've preached this morning runs through my mind all the time. It's how I think. It's not what I think. It's how I think. And I want to describe it. The way my mind works and the way I think, I have proportionate thinking. Everything is not equally important. Some things are more important than others. Some things are eternal. Some things are temporal. I want to invest my life in the things that are eternal. I have perspective thinking. That is how I look at things. I want to look at things through the Jesus glasses. A secular song, Rose-Colored Glasses, a John Conley song, talks about how you look at life through rose-colored glasses. Well, I want to look through Jesus-colored glasses. My perspective. Past thinking. I want to value the commitments that Jesus has made in the past and his acts in the past and what I have experienced in the past. And when life gets foggy, use my past to move ahead. This is the kind of person I am. This is the kind of person I want to become, of looking into the future. And pointed thinking. I'm not ready to wait forever for some things that Jesus wants to fix to be fixed. if he wants to fix it, if he wants to forgive me, if he's provided resources for my life, that I can know the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, I can know forgiveness and power and insight and wisdom, then I want it, and I want him to fulfill his promises, and he does, to have the resources of heaven for my life. Those are things that affect the way I look at life and the way that I think. This morning, we're going to observe Holy Communion. If you know Christ as your Savior, we invite you to celebrate Holy Communion with us. We're going to have prayer, and then we will observe the taking of the elements. And then after that, we'll have a song and then the benediction. So would you join me in prayer as we wait before the Lord? Father God, we thank you for every benefit that accrues to us because of the finished work of Jesus. We thank you that you have removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. We thank you that you have gifted us with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts when we encounter Jesus, and we want to walk in your truth, honor you in every area of our life, and have our life feeding on Christ in our hearts by faith. We thank you for the provision you've made for us in Calvary, and the empty tomb, the resurrection, and the power that we have because of your grace and mercy in our lives. We worship you and thank you for every benefit we have because of Jesus and his finished work for us. We worship you and praise you in his name. Amen.